I am reminded, while we're singing that, songwriter said, "In the stars, his handiwork I see. On the wind, he speaks with majesty. And though he ruleth over land and sea, what is that to me?" He said, "I will celebrate nativity because it has a place in history. Sure, he came to set his people free. What is that to me?" He said, "Until by faith I met him face to face, and I felt the wonders of his grace, then I knew that he was more than just a God who didn't care, who lives away out there. Now he walks beside me day by day, ever watching o'er me lest I stray, helping me to find the narrow way. He's everything to me." And so when we consider that Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he is the great I Am. Those two words say an awful lot. Moses had a question when the Lord sent him to the children of Israel. He said, "Who am I going to say sent me?" He said, "Tell them I am sent you." We can thank God for that. Reach out to Jesus because he is reaching out to you. The writer asked the question, is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the road you travel harbor dangers yet unknown? Are you growing weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you when on his name you call. He went on and said, is the life you're living filled with sorrow and despair? Does the future press you with its worry and its care? Are you tired and friendless? Have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you. Just come to him today. The chorus says, he is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true. Walking by our side, in his love we hide, all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. To reach out means that a person has to make some movement, and they have to put forth an effort as if to touch something, to garner something. And I consider that he also states, reach out means to get to or to come to a specified place, to come or reach out to a specified person, to get into or reach for a specified condition. So when you reach out to the Lord, you ought to do all of those things. There is a specified condition that he wants us to get to. There is a particular person he wants us to get a hold of. And there is a specified place he wants us to be in. Sister Annabelle used to sometimes tell people, get in your place. And I understand more so now what she was saying and why she said it. Because sometimes that's what you have to tell people, get in your place. But to really do that, you and I must reach out to the Lord. In the 23rd chapter of Luke, starting with the 33rd verse, it says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This is an example of reaching out to Jesus. This man was in pretty dire straits, placed upon a cross right beside the Lord. But after hearing the deriding of the people and the comments made by the priest and the attitude that they expressed, yet one of them said, well, if you really are Christ, save yourself and save us too. But one of them said, do you not fear God? Do you not realize that we are suffering what we deserve to suffer? And in his reaching out, he was actually acknowledging before the Lord that I am who I am and I deserve what I'm getting. I'm not going to blame it on somebody else. I'm not going to say someone else is the cause of me being here. I acknowledge myself and my place before you, Lord. And then he said, but when you come into your kingdom, remember me. He did not tell the Lord how to remember him, but in doing so and making this request, he acknowledged that Christ was still the Messiah. And so the Lord told him, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He reached out to Christ there upon the cross, and the Lord upon the cross reached out to him and took him on with him. And you know, as we consider this thief and we consider what happens in this day and time, most people don't want to acknowledge why they are where they're at. They want it to be because of somebody else or what someone else has done. And indeed, there are times when other people may have an effect upon where we are in this life, but we are to acknowledge before God, Lord, I am who I am. I am what I am, and I'm in need of your help. Will you remember me? I'm reaching out to you. And so, in his reaching out, the Lord reached out to him and took him in. You know, as we go through this life, the Lord is still yet reaching out. The writer said there in the third chapter of Revelations, behold, I stand and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open, then I will come in to him and I will sup with him and he with me. The Lord is continually reaching out to others by going and knocking at their heart's door, entreating them to allow him to come in. Many people will turn him away and will go on down through life wandering like lost sheep do, heedless of where they're going, not really paying attention to the consequences of their actions, and yet the Lord is endeavoring to get them to reach out to him, and so that he might reach out to them. You know, as we go through this life, there are many things that we may encounter, and we can find ourselves in various positions in life, regardless as to whether we are saved or not. But the Lord is yet there, and he makes effort to sustain those who reach out to him and who are coming to him for blessings. When he said, I will come in and sup with them, you know, many times we might make an offer to others and say, well, stop by and see us sometime and we'll eat a bite and we'll talk a bit. And the person may come over, but you know, most of the time when you come by, you don't bring anything with you for them to eat, do you? You come expecting them to feed you. But you know, he said, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And what that means is that he will come, but he is bringing something that you and I might partake of. The bread of life, the blessings that we need in this walk with him, everything that we are in need of to live a pure and a holy Christian life in this present time, regardless as to what may be going on in the world today. He brings that where you and I can feed upon it while he blesses and opens up his word unto us, and he sustains us as we go through this life. We have every reason to reach out to the Lord as we go on in this way. And as we continue on in this way, he will continue to bless. The writer said in the 11th chapter of Matthew, starting with the 28th verse, you probably know that verse by heart. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A lot of times, this passage has been used to encourage those who are lost in sin to come unto the Lord. The writer said the way of a transgressor is hard. And many a times they may find themselves burdened down in this life. But you know, they're not the only ones who are burdened down. And so the Lord left this passage where all of us can come to him when we find ourselves heavily laden, and he will give us rest. He lets us know here to take his yoke upon us and to learn of him as we go through this life. And as I look upon it, sometimes people have kind of taken the approach that, well, I'm saved now and I'm sanctified and therefore I have it and I can just kind of rest. I'm all done. But you know, when you get saved and sanctified, you're really just beginning. There is much to learn. There are many things to grow by. There are a lot of places where the Lord will endeavor to work by his Spirit to change our ways and our attitudes as we go on in this life. And if he is not able to truly change us, if year after year after year we find ourselves still in the same place, we're not allowing him to work in our behalf in the way that he desires. We are to grow and to gain as we go on in this life. We are to find ourselves moving on in life's way. And I remember once at one of the roundups, I asked the young brethren, and said, how many of you are impatient? And some hands went up. They were honest enough to let me know I'm impatient. I asked some and said, how many of you have a temper? Some more hands went up. And I told them, said, now's the time for you to start working on that and let God change you. Now's the time for you to get a hold of that thing. You know it's there. Now is the time to work with that by reaching out to him and allowing him to work out some things in your life to where you can be patient as you ought to be, to where you won't have a temper, but that it be balanced and temperate in all things. Now is the time for that to take place. And if you wait and put it off when you get old, you'll still be impatient and you'll still have a temper. The Lord wants to work in us, and so he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I have taken note of others down through life. There's a co-worker of mine, and he recently decided that he would learn jiu-jitsu. And one of the things I've taken note of is that there are times when we all break for lunch, and sometimes instead of participating in things that some of the other men are doing, he'll get off in an office by himself and start reading and studying his book about jiu-jitsu. I've seen others take their lunch periods to read and learn about the craft that they're trying to learn. Maybe some apprentice linemen, and there's a lot of codes and a lot of standards for them to read and learn and understand. And you know, the book isn't even as thick as this Bible. It's twice that thick. And it's a big notebook. It's not small like my Bible is. But I find that because they feel like there's reward here and there's pay involved, they are willing to spend the time to study. The Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. But yet there are times when I've heard some people say, I don't like to read, therefore I don't read my Bible. Is that a good reason to not read your Bible? And especially in this day and time where we have different kinds of media, you can hear the Bible on tapes, you can hear it on CD, number of ways you can get a hold of God's Word. But even in the midst of all of that, I've told the home folks at times, it still does not altogether replace you reading your Bible. You can hear it on tape while you're driving along in the car, but what are you doing when you do that? You're multitasking, because you got to pay attention to where you're driving and going, and you got to think about where you're going, where to turn, when to go straight, and then you're also trying to listen to His Word. But if you're reading His Word, you got to push a lot of things out, and you got to sit still for a little bit. And there's no excuse for not reading it and trying to learn how to take the Lord's yoke upon us. I've asked them from time to time, I may have mentioned it here, how many have read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation? And I remember as a young teenager in Sister Gladys Williams Doolittle's class, she said everybody ought to read the Bible through at least one time. And at that time she told us how many times she had read the Bible through. And it was like 7 or 8 times. And she said, every time I read it, I get something new out of it, even though I've read those passages time and time again. Even though I've read them from ministers while they were preaching, yet when I read them myself, there are times when I get something out of it then that I didn't get at other times. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It's a part of reaching out to Him. It's a part of getting to a specified place, getting to a specified person, which is Christ. We are to be found doing that as we go on in this life. I'm also mindful that when He said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Many a times, and I told someone at home once, they saw me walking one day and they said, well, Brother Paul, just let God have it all. I told them, says, well, yeah, you're right. But there are some things that you don't get to just turn it loose. Well, just let Him have it. And I thought, they just don't understand. You can't just turn it loose when He gives it to you. You may still find yourself with a burden where you still have to pray. Sometimes they may not realize that they were part of what you're trying to give up to the Lord. You know? And yet, you got to pray for them. And you got to carry a burden for them. And you know, as you go on in this way, there are many things that a person's going to encounter, and God will give them a burden as they go along in this life. And there are many times when, even in the midst of that burden, He will grant some rest and some relief. But you and I have to keep coming to Him. You might say, well, Lord, you gave it to me. You already know I have it. But He told us to do what? To pray. And He told us to pray without ceasing. You know, as we go on in this way, I'm mindful and often sing it to myself, but that song that says, when I'm heavy laden, when my friends are gone, and when I'm all forsaken and left to walk alone, I'll just keep on smiling, smiling through my tears, for I know my Savior is here. Said, I'll bear my burdens and my load of care. If He goes before me, I will go anywhere. Though many troubles are all around, I'll not despair, for I know my Savior is there. We are to reach out to Him as we go on in this life. And there are those that, as I said earlier, this passage is used to encourage them to come on out of sin and give your burden to the Lord and leave it there at His cross and go free from all of the things that Satan has brought upon you. And the sinner is supposed to come to Christ and reach out to Him like the thief did upon the cross and allow God to relieve him of that burden of sin. But you know, if they'll do that, when they surrender to Him, they'll find forgiveness. But sometimes there are others who maybe have been weighing in the balance and they've become what we would call a penitent. They're sorry for what they have done and they realize the guilt that comes from considering the sins that they have done. And there's something there that's working within them where they can't just get away from it and ignore it and walk by it. But even this person is to come and reach out to Jesus. And when they do that, they'll find pardon in full as they go along in this life. But then there are those that are saved, as I mentioned, and they have burdens too. I was told about how Sister Hatley was praying one time. And they said in her prayer, she said, "Lord, help me to know how to raise these grown children." And somebody told me about that, and I said, well, I kind of understand what she's talking about. I never heard her say that, but I can relate to that. There are grown children, but they may be unsaved, and you have a burden for them. And how do you entreat them? And how do you get them to see that now is the day of salvation? And how do you somehow reach them through the Lord to where He can get a hold of their heart and they can become true men and women of God for Him? But you know, even for those believers who are running along this pathway of life, the Lord helps them with those kinds of burdens. There are those who have endeavored to live saved, but they find themselves struggling at times, dealing with temptations, dealing with trials, hindered by doubts and meeting accusations and various things along the way. But when they come unto Him with all of that which they've been laden with, they find rest. They find uplifting inspiration of faith from the Lord talking and revealing some things unto them. They're able to find peace and calm assurance once more as they go through this life. And many times you and I have been told that which we had yesterday won't be sufficient to get us through tomorrow. And that means we have to continually reach out to Christ as we go along in this walk of life. And we have to continually acknowledge that we are weak and needy creatures as we go through this world. We are no match for Satan and all his minions except by the grace of God. He gives us that which came through the plan of salvation, where it sustains us to where, even as the songwriter said, the person who is yet saved is strong enough to overcome through sustaining grace, strong enough to overcome every foe they face. Many times there are those newly saved and they feel like, well, I don't think I can make it like that. And you yet tell them, you're saved and you're strong enough if you count it so. Strong enough if you rely upon Christ. If you keep reaching out to Him, He'll help you along life's way. You know, as we go on in this life, you and I have to acknowledge some things. If a person, well, let me put it this way. I remember a time, I was probably 10 years old. We were out at what's now called McAdams Park. It was called McKinley Park then. We were swimming in the swimming pool. And there was a classmate of mine named Steve. And he was in the pool and we were over in the deep area of the pool swimming. And I don't know what happened, but he began to panic. Now, the day before we'd been there swimming, never had a problem. He was swimming all over the place, and you know how we are. We was all trying to see, can you go down and touch the bottom and stay down there a while and then come back up in that water that was 9 foot deep, and we'd go down to the bottom and sit there for a while and see who's going to stay there the longest, and then we'd all come back up. And he'd been swimming through all that water with no problem. But this next day, he got off in there, and somehow something happened. He panicked and got afraid, and he thought he was going to drown. And you know, sometimes as children, we would be in the water, and you know, they used to kind of have a thing where they said, well, if you went down for the third time, you was gone. And so some of us playing, we'd come up and act like we was drowning. We'd go down and hold one finger up. And we'd come back up, flail around a little bit, and go down. And you'd hold up two fingers like, all right, I'm about to be gone now. Well, when Steve panicked, we all thought he was playing. The lifeguard thought he was playing. When he went down the third time, it didn't look like he was coming up. And so finally he did, and the lifeguard jumped in to get him out of the pool. Thought he wouldn't take no chances. Well, this boy really was panicking. And he began to fight the lifeguard. And the lifeguard was trying to talk to him, but trying to hold him off at arm's length. Because he knew if he get a death grip on me, he'll take us both down. Well, he kept trying to talk to Steve to get him to relax, but he couldn't do it. And finally, he was trying to talk softly to him, but finally kind of raised his voice a little bit, trying to get his attention. And while he did that, he got behind him. And when he got behind him, Steve was still flailing. He grabbed him by the chin and pulled him. And he pulled him over to the side. But he got behind him so Steve couldn't reach and grab him. Now, the point in that is this. If you're in a desperate strait like that, and somebody comes along to try to help you, and they start giving you some instructions on what to do, what do you think you ought to do? Should you ignore what they're telling you? Somebody say you should do what they say. In other words, you need to accept the help the way it comes, in the way that it comes, from whoever it comes, and allow it to help you and me to get out of the situation. But you know, spiritually speaking, a lot of times people are that way, but they won't listen. And therefore, they do not reach out to the Lord. Even when we are saved, there are times when we're going to have to listen to the help that God has sent to us, and we're going to have to allow it to save us. And it'll take some humility for that to happen. I am mindful, Brother Ulysses, Uncle Ulysses, in his old age, I heard him make this one testimony that some young person came to him and said, Brother Ulysses, I have something to tell you from the Lord. Now, he could have thought, I've been saved for so many years. The Lord talks to me. What is this young person going to tell me? But you know what he said? He said, oh, good. You have something from the Lord for me? Let me sit down so you can tell me. You see that? He humbled himself to let this young person, who was like a teenager, tell him something from the Lord. Whatever help we stand in need of, and sometimes we may feel like, well, I don't need any help right now, but I'm sure most all of us have heard Brother Woodrow Warren say, well, if you don't need it now, take it with you, you'll need it later on. We have to reach out to the Lord, and as He sends something our way, we have to be willing to accept it and allow it to bless us, even when we might think it's something I don't want to hear. Think about Legion. Did Legion reach out to the Lord? Yes, he did. Somebody said he ran. You remember the story about Legion? Full of devils. Somebody tried to help him and they chained him up and he broke the chains like it was nothing to it. Out there in the cemetery, cutting himself and who knows what all was taking place. But there was something down in Legion that wanted deliverance. And when he saw Christ, he came running and it says he fell down and he worshiped him. What do you think he said when he was worshiping Christ? Do you think he even had to say anything to worship Christ? What does worship really mean? You come here to service, to worship the Lord, or to be entertained? Which one is it? To worship the Lord. In spirit and in truth. So when you come to do that, what are you coming to do? In one sense, you're reaching out to the Lord. But in another sense, you are coming to give the sacrifice of praise unto the Lord. What do most people think it's about, though? What they really think it's about is them. I'm coming for y'all to sing something or for somebody to say something to make me feel good. That's not what worship is about. Worship, we tend, all over this country, people tend to come in worship to consume. We ought to come to give. You know, there used to have a saying. We had a man where I used to work, and he was kind of our liaison for different community things. So, you know, when Kansas Gas and Electric started Project Deserve, and they were entreating people to give a little bit of their check to Project Deserve to help others who couldn't pay their utility bills in the wintertime, he said, if we all give a little, then we all give a lot. If you and I come in our worship to give, then we all can eat. But if we come only to eat, somebody's going to leave here going home hungry. What that means is that, spiritually speaking, they're going to leave going home dissatisfied in their spirit. I came to get blessed, but I didn't get truly blessed. It was all about somebody else. It was all about, oh, woe is me. He said, reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. When we reach out to Him, we can find blessings in this life. And when we receive those blessings, if we really acknowledge what God has done for us, then we're going to have to come back sometime or another and say, this is what the Lord did for me. And you know something else? It won't be about, and I want you to understand me, because I've heard one minister told me one time, he come to prayer meeting and he told him, y'all are depressing me. Because it's all about, oh, woe is me, and this happened and that happened and the other happened. And what it really should be about is that the Lord blessed me. In my devotion this morning, the Lord spoke to me and He said, thus and thus. In my trial and test, the Lord spoke unto me and He said, peace, be still. But sometimes we just get caught up in the things of this world. Now, understand me when I say this. If we are coming and all we ever have to really offer is that I lost my keys and the Lord helped me to find my keys, hold up a minute. When was the last time you reached out to Jesus? He said, well, I reached out when I asked Him to help me find my keys. And it's a blessing when He does that. I've done that myself. Lord, I've put something away. I don't know where it is. Help me to find it. And He helps you to find it. But that's not all that this walk with God is about. And by us reaching out to Him to get to that specified person in a specified place in a specified condition. You know the condition. He wants us to be saved, sanctified, satisfied, and joyful in the Lord. You know the person we ought to meet. We ought to not just say, I have a personal relationship with God. We ought to actually have it where we don't have to say it. And others can look upon us and tell, that person is a Christian. That's the person He wants us to get to. And we are to be in a specified place. That place is walking up the King's highway. That place is forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. That place is to come and help worship the Lord and encourage one another in psalms and spiritual hymns. That place is to speak a word seasoned with grace, not gossip. Reach out to the Lord. He's reaching out to you and me. Legion reached out to Him. There was something in him. I don't know that Legion really said anything. I kind of doubt that he did. But it said he came and he ran and he bowed down before Christ. And in his heart and in his actions, there was something there that acknowledged, Thou art the Christ. And I want to be delivered. And those spirits knew what they were coming up against. And of course, after all of the years of people trying to help him in their own way and not able to do so, when all of them spirits came out and went into those swine and they went off of the cliff, the people went back into the town and told them what had happened and let them know Legion is sitting there in his right mind. He reached out and the Lord reached out to him. You remember the Syrophoenician woman? What did she do? You remember what she did? What did she come to the Lord about? Lord, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And what did Jesus do? Somebody mentioned the other night, what would Jesus do? Well, what did Jesus do? He ignored her. And she's still pleading with him. They said, send her away, Lord. I kind of concluded my own thought that they looked at him and saw he was ignoring her. And they must have concluded, well, if he ain't going to help us, send her away. We're tired of hearing her. Lord, send her on. You're not going to help us? Send her on. She still pleaded with him. He finally said, it's not meet to give the children's bread to dogs. What did she say? She reached right back, didn't she? She reached out to him. Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. And in so many words, she said, I don't want what goes to the children, Lord. I don't want what's not mine, but those crumbs that fall off of the table that they don't want, just a crumb is enough to meet my need.
Lord.
What happened? She reached out to him after he called her a dog. And that was a derogatory term back then for them to call people dogs. She reached right out to him when she could have recalled and said, he hurt my feelings. He crushed my self-esteem. He hurt my pride. I'm a human being just like he is. I'm a woman. He shouldn't talk to me that way. But she stayed and said, truth, Lord. You telling the truth, Lord. I'm a dog. But the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he blessed her and gave her what she petitioned for. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. You know, as we go through this life, there are a lot of things that may happen. But don't give up on Jesus. Keep going. Keep reaching. You might feel like, well, I failed. And I failed the Lord and I failed. And I failed time and time again. I keep falling down. I told somebody one time, I said, failure is not in the falling down. It's in the not getting back up. You know, as we go through this life, keep reaching out to him. Someone else did in the 14th chapter of Matthew, the 26th verse. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, think about this. This was during the time that Jesus had fed the 5,000. And then he told the disciples, go on over to the other side. Then he turned and sent all the people away, and he went up in the mountain to pray. Now, one thing I want to say about that, the Lord had worked this great miracle, but if you'll ever notice the pattern of the Lord, anytime he worked a great miracle, what did he then do? You ever consider? You read it. Many times when he worked a great miracle, when it was all said and done, he went apart into the mountain to pray. Didn't stay around to bask in the glory where people could praise him for what he'd done. He went in the mountain alone to pray to God. Is that what you and I would do if the Lord worked a big miracle through us?
Have mercy, Lord.
But He did that, and now, after praying, He takes off walking on the water. And when the disciples see Him, the winds come up, and the storm come along, and the writers bring out that in the area that they were in, many times when they went out on the water, said a storm could just come up all of a sudden. So here's this storm coming up, the winds are blowing, and here comes Jesus walking across the waters. You don't see that happening every day, and they thought it must be a ghost. It's a spirit walking across the water. And Peter, being as he always seemed to be, always quick to say something, when they heard him say, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Lord, if that's you, bid me come into the water." He's going to see if it's a ghost or not. And all Jesus said was, "Come." And Peter, being impetuous like he was, he gets on out of the boat, and there he goes, walking on the water. Well, you know, I told the home folks one time, I said, "You know, I got a little different view of Peter now." I said, "I've often heard people talk about how he doubted and he lost faith and all of those kind of things." I said, "But Peter's the only disciple to ever walk on the water." I said, "So I'm not going to knock him." But you know, he looked around, and I know in some way he had to think, okay, this is not really supposed to be happening. He probably looked down at his feet. Yeah, I'm on the water. He probably thought, he's a fisherman, and they know the territory they fish. He probably thought, this water is deep. Sometimes there, for our work, we have to go out on the water because there's a log boom to protect the people, to keep them away from a certain area where water gets passed through the dam. And if they are fishing there, they tell me, with all of the air entrained in that water, if you're fishing there, the buoyancy of the water is defeated because of all the air, and then you'll go down and sink, you and your boat too. So it's put across there to keep them away from that area. And I went out there one day, they were looking for people to go, and I went. We're in two different boats, you know, and six of us working together. And I finally asked somebody, I said, "How deep is this water?" So, "Oh, right where we are, about 200 feet. Like, I said, "Boy, I hope they don't ever do anything to capsize this boat, because it's a long ways to swim to the shore." And at first, before I went out, they, being new there, they said, "You mind going out on the boat?" I said, "No." Nah. And they made some comment about swimming. I said, "Well, I used to be able to swim like a fish. I probably can't do that now, but I can still swim. So I'm not concerned about going, as long as somebody don't get too crazy in what they're doing." But you know, as you consider it, Peter probably thought, this is really deep out here, and I don't even see the shore. And then all of this storm is going on around him, and he kind of lost his focus and began to feel like, I'm going to drown out here. And he began to sink. But then he called out to the Lord, and the Lord reached out.
Thank the Lord.
Pulled him up. "Why did you doubt?"
Help, Lord.
And you know what else happened? It says there, when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. So in other words, to me, what that is saying is that Jesus lifted him back up, and the storm and the waves and all of that was still going on, and they walked back to the ship, and when they got in the ship, the wind ceased. What do you see in all of that? Do you only see that Peter walked, but he got fearful and he sunk, and the Lord saved him? Here's something to consider. Peter walked on the water. He did get fearful. He did sink. What it tells me is that we are fragile. Peter's not the first one. Elijah, after he worked that miracle, when Jezebel said, the gods do so to me and more so if I don't make your life like these other men by this time tomorrow. After that big miracle, Elijah took off running. Kind of like Peter going down in the waves, is it? And the Lord had to call to him and speak to him through a still small voice. "What doest thou here, Elijah?" I'm the only one left. I'm the only one that's been serving you. And it's not right, Lord. I'm no better than my predecessors, so just take my life. And then he answered me, called again, what doest thou here, Elijah? But you know, we are fragile. Jesus reached out and lifted him up. And again, what I see in that is his compassion, his love. He's reaching out to each and every one of us as we go on in this way. The winds finally ceased. And what I find in that is peace. Once he was lifted back up, they walked on to the boat. Who knows how far away from the boat Peter got. But they walked on back in peace. When we reach out to him and he reaches to us, we will have peace in this life. Not just when the winds cease. I believe he had some of it right there with Jesus walking with him with all of the winds blowing. And when they got back in the ship, the winds quit blowing. Then the disciples came around him in the boat and they worshiped him saying, "Thou art the Son of God, of a truth." Now, think about that. They had seen Jesus work other miracles. They had just seen him feed the 5,000. They saw him do other miracles along the way. And now, when this happens, when they see him walk on the water, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." But you know what? As we go along in this life, if we keep reaching out to him, if we keep looking, searching, and seeking for him in our saved experience, there are times in the troubles and trials of life where God will reach down and bless in your behalf and mine and reveal himself to us in a way he hadn't before, to where we can cocoon like them, "Of a truth, thou art alive and well. You are the great I am. You are just everything you said you were, Lord." Though others might try to doubt it and downgrade it in this life, there comes times in our lives and trials and tests when he gives us special revealings and revelations of him, the specified person we are to seek to be like along this way. When we go along in this walk, you find that Jesus walked upon the water. Then he enabled Peter to walk upon the water. What I see in that as we go along in this life is his power.
Thank the Lord.
The water, I said like this, became Jesus' sidewalk. Didn't make any difference to him whether it was fluid, liquid, or hard concrete. It was the same to him. It became, he walked on it just like you and I walk on the sidewalks here. Didn't have to stumble. Didn't have to watch where he was putting his feet. He just walked on it. And he enabled Peter to do the same. And you know, in all of this, when he spoke to Peter, "O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" I just can't picture the Lord upbraiding him when he said that. I'm sure it challenged him and it admonished him. But I mean, you know the tone of voice we can use to really let somebody know we're not really thinking too well of them when we say something. I don't think he did that. "O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? I told you to come and you came and you was doing fine. Why did you doubt?" But you know what you see in that is calmness. His calmness. And Jesus has that kind of calmness because there is nothing beyond him. I need to catch up with my disciples. He didn't say, "I need to find the next person with a boat to get me out there." He just went off walking on the water. When Peter began to sink, he just reached down and pulled him back up. And they walked together onto the ship. You know, as we go along in this life, They used to sing that song on the Jericho Road. I remember as a young person, Sister Beatrice, Stanley and Henry singing it on the Jericho Road. There's room for just two. No more, no less. Just Jesus and you. Each burden he'll bear, each sorrow he'll share. There's never a care for Jesus is there. You know, if we reach out to him, he'll reach out to us and we can walk together in his calmness, in his assurance, because there's nothing beyond him. The world may not understand that. I remember a time my sister was telling me about someone she was listening to on the radio. And this man was suffering all kinds of physical afflictions and had quite a few things wrong with him. And he said when he went to the doctor, they told him, well, you got this wrong with you, and you got that wrong with you, and you got the other wrong with you, and you got this here wrong with you. And they named off four or five different things. And they let him know that these things are going to take you out of here if something isn't done. And he told them, well, thank the Lord, I'm going to get to go and be with Jesus. And they was like, but you don't understand. Like, you didn't hear what I said. You about to die here. And he's like, I understood. I'm getting ready to go to be with Jesus. And they just couldn't fathom that. But you know, because he was walking with Jesus, he had a peace and a calm assurance in his heart. And he knew nothing's beyond the Lord. If he wants to heal me, he can heal me. If he wants to take me, thank the Lord, I'm going to get to go and be with him. You know, we don't always think like that. It was like here a few meetings ago, Brother Herbert Clay, people was singing, and singing was good. And they was singing about going to heaven, and it's time to take prayer requests. And he said, who wants to go to heaven? And all these hands shot up. And he said, right now. Hands started coming down. I want to stay here just a little longer. I don't know why. I know how we are. But you know something? Last time my wife was afflicted, she said, I need to talk to you. And I didn't want to hear it, because I knew what was coming. Because I'd always told her, you ain't leaving here without a fight from me first. But she said, if it's my time to go, you need to let me go, because I want to go to heaven. Well, you can't be selfish. So he just had to say, well, all right, if that's what he do, okay. And then after she got through and said, anything else? She said, no. I said, all right, now let's pray. Like, all right, Lord, what you gonna do here? But you know, as we reach out to him and we really get in the place where he wants us to be, then we realize that I, as the sister wrote, am just a pilgrim here. Heaven is my home. And you know, that's where we want to go. But we have him to go with us through this life to get us there. And we need to continually reach out to him. If you're burdened down, reach out to him. If you're lost in sin, reach out to him. If you're in the valley of decision, reach out to him. If you failed him 500 times, he told Peter to forgive 70 times 7. That's 490. Well, you went beyond the 490, he'll still forgive and he will still save. Reach out to him. You can't go wrong reaching out to Christ. Pray for me.